Today's scripture comes from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall acquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't think I need to remind you that our world is changing fast and becoming increasingly complex than ever before. And it's not just with science and technology, our financial and healthcare systems, or politics, or rules and regulations. I mean, everything is becoming more complex. Even going to have some hot dogs can be very challenging, I found out recently. I probably need to explain to you more about that experience. Now, when I want to have a hot dog, it's usually at Costco. You know, that $1.50 deal with hot dog and drink. I mean, how can you beat that, right? But a little while ago, someone told me about this place down the freeway that has great hot dogs. And so I went there. Now, it took me a while to even decide on what kind of hot dog I wanted because they had this long menu board. But then once I picked a regular hot dog, which, by the way, was around $5, I began to proceed. And then they started to ask me all these questions about, well, what kind of bread do you want your hot dog on? Do you want avocados? Or how about some bacon? Or, you know, just $1.50 more, you can get a bigger hot dog. And how about some cheese? And how about some sauerkraut? And here I was really getting stressed over just trying to have a hot dog for that afternoon, you know? It took me a while, but I finally did. And when they rang up for that one hot dog and a drink, it came out to be $12.59. And I said to myself, you know, having hot dogs shouldn't be this difficult or complex or that expensive, you know. But do you ever feel that way about the world that we live in? Do you ever feel that way about the way things are in your life? Which is why this year we have decided to make our Advent theme very simple as possible. Simple gifts of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love. And thanks to Diana, they are all beautifully wrapped in a box and ready to be received by whoever wants them at this time of the year. Now, it began last Sunday with our service on the theme of hope. And I know Robert and Diana, with children and family, did a great job of reminding you this importance of having hope in our journey, especially during this time of the year, certainly in such time as this in our nation. Today, we turn to word peace. Peace, like the other three words, is one short, simple word. Simple, but not easy. In fact, if you ask me which one of the four words is the hardest to reach or achieve, I would say that it would be peace. And I know many of you, if not all, will agree with me, especially in light of what is going on in our nation and the world. I mean, wouldn't we all love to have peace in our world, in our lives? Peace is so easy to say, but so hard to experience, so hard to achieve. And yet it's something that we really want. When we think of the word peace, we think of a lot of things. We have the Peace Corps that engage in humanitarian work throughout the world. I know people who have served on the Peace Corps in Africa, and they said that their experience has changed their lives in many different ways. Peace. We hand out peace, Nobel Peace Prizes, and engage in peace talks with the hopes of agreeing on a peace treaty. Or I remember a time when I was walking down a crowded, busy mall street when a man passing by me made this eye contact with me, and out of the blue he said, "Peace, brother." And I wondered, did he see something in me that led to believe I need peace on that day? Or in a church like this morning, we begin by passing the peace as we always do. Or at some point in the liturgy, we speak the word, we use the word, but we may never truly have it realized in our lives and in this world. Again, peace is so difficult to reach. One word so hard to experience, perhaps even in death, some may not be at peace. There's a story about a widow who had "rest in peace" put on her husband's tombstone. But when she found out that he left her out of his will, she added, "till I come." That sort of speaks to of what the situations are like in our world today. The phrase "rest in peace" also indicates that we may finally be at peace only in death, because it's been so hard to achieve during our lifetime on earth. Now, it doesn't mean that the world and the leaders haven't worked toward peace. They're all trying, we all know. Throughout the ages, many have worked tirelessly toward peace. Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, just to name a few. And then there are the wars in the name of peace, civil wars, World War I and II, and other wars in all parts of the world, past and present. We all agree that no matter where you stand on wars, there are no winners in a war. We all lose in this tragedy and suffer greatly. Those of you who are veterans or who have lost their loved ones in wars know this so painfully about this collateral damages that wars can cause. Broken bodies, broken hearts, painful and horrific memories. We go to war to make peace, and we may for a time being, then comes another war. There's this peace talks that's been going on for years in the Middle East between the Israelites and Palestinians. Actually, that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Ever since then, it's been constant. A new peace deal is reached, and then you know the patterns. And then there is the peace we are looking for in our current world, in our nation with the war on terrorism and ISIS and the war on gun violence and hate crimes. I am told that the number of hate crimes have gone up drastically. And then there is the war we fight on our own neck of the woods, in our own community, or in our workplaces, or in our homes. And so instead of praying, give us our daily bread, we might as well pray, give us our peace, because we need this just as much as our daily bread, perhaps even more. We're turning to Isaiah for some help during this time of Advent this year. And it began last Sunday with the image of hope on those verses where it says, "The one who shall come to judge the nation and the people, beating their sword into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, the day when nation shall not lift up sword against one another." It just gives you that hope, doesn't it? At least the hope that we need to work toward, the hope for peace. And this morning, Isaiah begins by saying, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now here, the transformation from fear and violence to peace begins with a stump of all things. Now what is stump? Stump is something that appears to be finished, cut out, lifeless, left behind to die. And yet, Isaiah reminds us, from it comes the signs of new life. This is how hope gets started. This is how peace gets started. It emerges as that little tiny leaf in an unexpected place. In fact, can you imagine or believe that even now God might be nurturing growth of something new and good from your life that may appear to be like another stump? And all this while, the people of Israel were going through the periods of violence with the Assyrian and Babylonian empires in power. Israel was constantly under the oppression of these giant empires, and some of the bad kings of Israel didn't help the cause either. It, in fact, added to their misery. The terror and brutality pervaded that part of the world. Dead bodies on the streets, children and women were being slain. When all hope for peace is lost, Isaiah begins to write these words that we read this morning. "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion playing together, and a little child shall lead them." Now, with the exception of perhaps the white dove, it would be difficult to come up with more iconic image of the future peace that we want than that of a lion lying down with a lamb, and so on. Isaiah again says, "The wolf shall live with the lamb, leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion playing together, and the little child shall lead them." I'm struck by the fact that it's a little child. "A little child shall lead them." And for us Christians here, the scene changes when Isaiah turns to this line of David. Because all is not lost for people of Israel. Because from this line of David will emerge a king of peace whose reign will be one of the peace and righteousness. "And a child shall lead." You see, God's answer is totally different. God's answer to war and violence, injustice, and the suffering of the innocent is to be born into it as a child, a little child whose very nature is peace. God chooses a child to be the Prince of Peace, to rule from a manger. An incarnate God in the form of a baby. Later, we are told that a woman shall bear a son, and we shall name him Emmanuel. I mean, who would have thought a baby? But then a child, a baby, is a sign that there is a future, isn't it? They run around with so much energy. It just reminds us about the future, unrealized yet, but nevertheless the sign of hope for future and peace. I know this may be hard to believe for some of our new parents at the 9 o'clock service this morning when your children is going ballistic at 3 a.m. in the morning and you are praying literally, give me peace, right? I've been there. And yet Isaiah says, a child shall lead. It has arrived in a lowly manger. The king has arrived, but as one cartoon clip asks about the manger scene, where are all these important people? The great Greek and Roman philosophers and politicians of Western civilizations, Plato and Socrates, where are they? Nowhere to be found. This child who is peace brings peace in this distinct manner because he doesn't lord his power over us. He is Lord of all lords because he looks out for what is best for all of us. He doesn't rule by fear or intimidation. And the communion table this morning is that symbol of peace. It is made possible for us by Jesus who carried that weight of a cross that we might not be broken and actually experience peace inside and outside. The cost of our peace broke his body into pieces. And those little pieces of bread, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. That is why he is the Prince of Peace. Prince wearing of all the crowns he could choose to wear, a crown of thorns is what he chooses to wear. And remember that night when Jesus said to his disciples about peace, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. I hope you will remember what Jesus said. I do not give to you as the world gives. You know, people try to find peace, joy, so desperately, but in all the wrong places. Especially around this time, people are caught in this culture of commercialism, greed, and spend and buy and spend some more and buy some more. But here's Jesus who says, I do not give to you as the world gives. Yes, the world and the leaders are working really hard toward peace. And we all need to participate and engage in that process. We have to have a voice. But what God is more concerned about is our souls. My soul, your souls. Because we must remember the true peace begins with us in our souls. And it begins in that little manger. Yes, peace really is mysterious. It's unexplainable. And so we might wonder, well, how do we achieve then that peace that surpasses all understanding? Well, Apostle Paul gave us a little clue. In fact, on Thanksgiving Sunday, we read Paul's words from his prison cell to Philippians. Well, and while the context in which we read was giving thanks in all circumstances, you might also recall and remember in those verses, he also talks about peace and how we can have peace in our lives. You see, Paul himself knew the simple gift. In fact, it was in his heart, the simple gift of peace. And so he writes, rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the word guard here. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. You know, like a peace is a soldier on guard at the door of your hearts and minds, a sentry for your soul. Now, it's ironic that peace is associated with that military term, guard. But it's the word that Paul uses to suggest that the way God fights the world is with peace, not anything else. And so should we. You see, what is at stake today, particularly in light of all these things going on, is the condition of our hearts and minds. Again, how is your soul? Because we need peace to guard our hearts from being infiltrated by anger and hate and envy. Because if we don't, they will become bitter and rot with rage and harden with hate. They will lose that softness and warmth of the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. If peace does not protect our hearts, we will become dangerous to others and to ourselves even. And this is why peace needs to constantly guard our hearts and minds. And this is why Paul says right after this, to think about then those things or these things. That is, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there is anything excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those simple things. And the God of peace will be with you. And I hope that we all will take this time. Because if we're not careful, it can do harm than good, this special season. So I hope that you will take time to cherish these things during Advent. Your family Christmas tradition, I know how important they are. I hope that you will keep at it. Or going to one of the many Christmas concerts that Thousand Oaks offers. Mina and I were at the Cal Lutheran University Christmas concert this past Friday evening. Boy, I'm glad that we did, because it even made my hard heart soften some bit. It does you good. Or being there for someone who needs you. After all, it is the season of giving, isn't it? And that's what Paul is saying. Thinking on those things, the simple things, doing those things that are commendable is a pathway to peace. So keep guarding your heart with the peace of God. That's why John Wesley says that without peace, guarding our hearts and minds like a garrison does a city, the purity and the vigor of our affections cannot long be preserved. Let me say that again. John Wesley says that without peace guarding our hearts and minds, like a garrison does a city, the purity and vigor of our affections cannot long be preserved. And so, I hope that you will cherish those simple gifts, the simple gifts of hope, peace, joy and love that Jesus came down so that we can have those things guarding our hearts. He came to give us that simple gift of peace with a little condition attached upon it. He says, remember, I do not give to you as the world gives. And so may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, continue to guard your hearts and your minds, both now and forevermore. Amen.